preaching Christ from all of Scripture. This is Abounding Grace. You join us now with Pastor Chris Gordon for a time of rightly dividing the word of truth.
Well, we left off yesterday on Abounding Grace considering the awful and beautiful scene, but the awful scene of the Pharisees condemning a man whom Jesus had forgiven, and Jesus then in power setting himself forward as the good shepherd. This beautiful description of his work. And we said yesterday, this is a very dangerous problem in the life of the church, a rigid Phariseeism of people who don't really care about God's people, leaders who don't do anything but place holding guilt on people. They're never defined by the gospel, but by the way and manner their own little interpretations of the law are followed, to the point which, if anyone disagrees with them, they can't be Christians. I said, this is an awful reality that goes on. Guilt-driven bullying, intimidation, forced guilty submission, none of that is of Christ. And that's what we saw here. Here was a man who had been healed. They didn't care about him. They didn't stop and look upon the radiant joy of this man who had received mercy. And that's what we've seen from the long history already of studying the scriptures and looking in John's gospel. Did they care about these people? About the woman caught in adultery? No, no, no. All they cared about was that she was an unclean sinner. Did they care about the man at the pool of Bethesda? All they cared about was that he carried his mat on the Sabbath. It's awful. For some people, they'll never receive you until it's complete conformity to them. This is why Jesus was constantly condemning, because while they beat everyone over the head about their little interpretations of the law, their lives were full of hypocrisy. Their lives didn't come close to honoring the clear things the law said. That's why Jesus said, "Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For you travel land and sea to win one proselyte. When he's won, you make him twice as much a son of hell as yourselves." So we have been contrasting this week, and Jesus is setting this contrast so sharply by saying, in contrast to all that false shepherding, the false shepherds of Israel, here is what I am like in contrast. Verse 9, "If anyone enters by me, he will be saved, and he will go in and out and find pasture." Second part of verse 10, "I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly." I'm really moved by this, dear listener. Jesus is saying, this is why I've come. My purpose has never been to rule people with cruelty. You understand how wonderful it was? In contrast to all this we've studied this week about how the religious leaders just trashed God's people, when the Lord Jesus stood up, in contrast to all that, and said, "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I'm gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Look, this doesn't deny that we have to be confronted about sin. Jesus was constantly doing that. But the confrontation had the goal of bringing us to him, to receive this kind of embrace. And I don't believe people ever get to Jesus Christ until they take their eyes off themselves. Yes, you're a bad sinner. Yes, you're wretched. But Christ has said, "A bruised reed he will not break, and a smoking flax he will not quench. He's come to bind up." Do we think of Christ this way? That he cares? That he loves? That he is persistent in that love, and that his goal is that sinners would be saved? What is that? Did you notice how Jesus describes it in John 10, verse 10? I've come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. That's now. This is the way I shepherd. This is the purpose for my sheep, that they may have grace abundantly, that they might live. I mean, really live. What a contrast, dear listener, to those who are under hirelings. What happens to those who enter by the Lord instead of being under this abusive kind of false shepherding? You know what happens? I said yesterday, the fruits of those who are under false shepherds is what? There's no joy. There's no happiness. There's no freedom. They're in bondage. And people who are in bondage to the law act like it. What do you act like if you're in bondage to the law? You're angry? You fight? There's no fruit in your life? The church is full of schism, discord among the brethren. But in contrast, when people have been freed from that and have really come to embrace the good shepherd, understanding his compassionate mercy, you know what happens in the sheep? I'll tell you. You ever seen a Christian who understands his salvation, who loves Christ? What is it about them that makes them different? It's the way they live. It's what their life demonstrates. You know what that is? Listen, this is so important because I fear that there are many, maybe even listeners today, who have yet to enter by Jesus Christ. And that the simple faith, trust, and joy of salvation is completely absent. When you have this, you see, when you have come under the good shepherd and you've been given the joy of salvation and you've been tenderly received by him, there is an intimate relationship and love and assurance between the shepherd and the sheep. Remember, the sheep always recognize the voice of their shepherd. In verse 11, Jesus describes this. He says, "I am the good shepherd." The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. This is one of the most beautiful statements in the gospel. I alone am the good shepherd, and I've come to lay down my life. Why does he lay down his life? So that we might have life. And think of what a life that is. There's so much imagery here. I hope I can begin to capture it over the radio. In verse 14, Jesus says and expands on the meaning of the good shepherd. I am the good shepherd. And I know my sheep and am known by my own. As the Father knows me, even so I know the Father, and I lay down my life for my sheep. Notice verse 16. He says the sheep would hear his voice. Now every night, as the shepherd would bring in his flock, as each one would enter into the sheepfold by the door, the shepherd would then lower his rod and inspect each one, calling it by name. It's a beautiful picture. He would inspect the sheep for injury or harm, inspect them for scrapes and bruises. He knew them by name. They were so familiar with that tender, caring shepherd. His voice had an immediate wooing power to make them come. What imagery are you getting here? This is Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down by green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will not fear. For your rod and staff, they comfort me. Jesus is speaking intimately about the knowledge he has of his sheep and how they know him. And his voice has that wooing power over them. Notice how he describes it. They go in and out. They find pasture. Jesus has said he leads the sheep into pastures. He brings them back into the night, into the sheepfold. He's committed himself to love, to feed, and to care for them. He's the door by which we go in and out. During the whole day, he leads them, they follow him. He takes them to find pasture. And at night, he lowers his rod, inspecting every affliction and woe that they face during the day. And caring for the sheep, he safely calls each one by name and places them into the sheepfold for the night in total protection. You see, Jesus is describing how great his love is for his sheep, that he dies for them and them alone. I lay down my life for the sheep. I've got more who are not of this fold. These sheep too will hear my voice and be one flock. There will be one flock and one shepherd. He's talking about believers today. This is the kind of shepherd Jesus Christ is. Notice the complete picture here. And I say this in contrast. Think of worldly, quote, shepherds. We've seen on the news, leaders will bomb their people. They don't care. The Lord Jesus Christ truly cares. All this awful stuff happens in the kingdom, even spiritually, as false shepherds fill the churches. Jesus is saying, in contrast to all that, I know my sheep. They will hear my voice. Nothing, he is going to say, can snatch them from my hand. I'm going to die for them. In other words, no matter what you do to them, O shepherds of Israel, I won't lose one. Whoa, how comforting this is. Shepherds would protect the sheep, but you never heard of a shepherd who would die to save his sheep. This one did. And in verses 17 to 18, Jesus makes it very clear that what these false shepherds are doing and wanting to kill him and his sheep is not in their control, but is actually the purpose of God, the command he received from God, that it was his willful choice to lay down his life and take it up again, that he might forever take these sheep whom he loves to be enclosed with him in the new heavens and the new earth, where nothing that could ever harm them will enter in again. So in this connection, you understand how powerful the contrast is to these false shepherds of Israel. Christ is the fulfillment of the promise of Ezekiel. As the shepherd seeks out his flock on the day he is among his scattered sheep, so I will seek out my sheep and deliver them from all the places where they were scattered on a cloudy and dark day. I will feed them in good pasture, and their fold shall be on the high mountains of Israel. There they shall lie down in the good fold and feed in rich pasture on the mountains of Israel. I will feed my flock, and I will make them lie down, says the Lord God. I will seek what was lost and bring back what was driven away, bind up the broken and strengthen what was sick. This is, dear listener, Jesus Christ. I'm not the good shepherd. I'm merely an under shepherd of the true and only good shepherd, Jesus Christ. My purpose and every faithful under shepherd's purpose is the same as John the Baptist's, letting Jesus Christ increase and we, as we decrease. Through the servants, you hear Christ's good voice and are led by him. As always, these statements cause division among the people. It always set apart for people two paths. You either blindly continue following false shepherds, or you come to Jesus Christ as the only good shepherd. Faith in Christ as the Son of God is the only door of entrance. We come through him, and all who believe in him receive this abundant life of going in and going out and finding pasture as his rod and staff guide. This kind of knowledge of the Good Shepherd changes your perspective of being a Christian. In fact, it makes you long to hear Jesus Christ's voice. Jesus makes a promise through all this today. Jesus says, if anyone enters by me, he will be saved. Enter then by Jesus, believe the Son, and know how blessed you are to be able to say, the Lord, he is my shepherd. Abounding Grace Radio is brought to you by the United Reformed Church here in Linden. We are a church where the Bible is sincerely believed and faithfully taught. As always, we do give you an invite to join us for worship, 10 o'clock and 6 o'clock p.m. on the Lord's days. Visit us on the web at lindenurc.com. Thanks for tuning in today. May the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ in all of its glory continue to richly bless you.